What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm up from Evo. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, it is going to be Greg Waddell. He does absolutely amazing work over at Sleepers Media, Field of 68, and a man that, while he does those tests very, very well, it sounds like he might be in the transfer portal himself. So we're going to be diving in with him about what he's all seen in the Big Ten thus far this offseason. He is a Michigan man, so I'm going to talk about the hiring that we've seen here in the offseason with having Mr. Dusty May come over, take that job, what to expect out of Michigan this offseason, what to expect really across the Big Ten in the offseason as well. And then in the final segment, we're going to recap all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Thursday. If you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, learners, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And we did not get in any Twitter/X questions today. Always happy to dive in on anything, whether you have one for tomorrow's podcast, whether you have one for next month's, what have you. Like I said, I don't necessarily do it for individual teams themselves. That's why I've got the conference previews that I will be doing later on in the offseason, because it's hard for me to be like, oh, I'm going to give you this hot take on a team that has currently 2 guys on the roster, which is where we're at with most of these teams right now. We're going to call it what it is, but I've got to lead off the show by talking about the big news that we saw in college basketball on Thursday. That would be the fact that Mark Pope, he is going to be going from BYU, and he is going to be heading on over to Kentucky. This is a big-time deal for Kentucky, and you could tell that he wasn't the number one option for Kentucky. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was in a lot of the lists that we were seeing coming out, the number 3, number 4 option, somewhere in that neighborhood. No doubt about it, they were trying to get Dan Hurley. I have to think that they had a lot of conversations with Billy Donovan. We know that Scott Drew turned them down. But for Mark Pope, I think that this is going to be a good hire for Kentucky. Now, if you're expecting the same amount of pros to be coming out of Kentucky, if you expect this to be a program that is just recruiting a whole bunch of guys that are in the top 15 or something like that, I think that that might be a little bit of a departure from it. This might not be a program that is talked about as much just in terms of like mainstream hot take radio or anything like that. But what you want, if you're a Kentucky fan, if you're a fan of college basketball, is wins. Like, it does absolutely no good whatsoever for a college basketball program to be like, oh, we sent this guy to the pros, and we won 9 games this season. Which, I say that somewhat jokingly, but, I mean, if you take a look at LSU when Ben Simmons was there, Markel Fultz when Washington was there, those were some rough teams, to say the least. And we're able to look at this Mark Pope hire on two sides of the coin. The BYU team that he assembled this season, one of the more balanced ones in all of college basketball, and that does very much embrace the modern day of college basketball. They didn't play at warp speed or anything like that, but they were a relatively up-tempo team. They took darn near 50% of their shots from three-point range in terms of percentage of their field goal attempts that came from three, one of the highest teams in all of college basketball, so it's going to be not too far from the style that John Calipari played, though I will argue I think that he's able to input a little bit of a better defense than John Calipari did last season. Honestly, if you had hired me out there, I think that the defense wouldn't have taken any sort of a fall off from last season, but also we'll take a look at this as well. For Mark Pope, he has 9 seasons as a head coach under his belt. He has finished 5th place or worse in a conference 5 times. He's had a 2nd place finish 4 times, so that means that he's got 0 NCAA tournament wins, 0 conference tournament titles or anything like that. As we know, prior to his time at BYU, he was ever at Utah Valley. So another one of these high risers, and we have seen a lot of these guys rise very, very fast in the college basketball ranks, like Danny Sprinkle, who's over at Washington. 2 years ago, he was coaching things up over at Montana State. Josh Schertz, who just recently took that job at St. Louis, he was not too long ago a D2 Lincoln Memorial, but we've seen this work out for many programs. Now, I don't think that we've seen a program like Kentucky be able to hire on this much of a fast riser this quickly. I think that perhaps you can rival it to maybe Billy Gillespie a little bit, but it felt like Billy Gillespie was at the power conference level a little bit more prior to this past season. BYU, they were out there in the WCC battling it out with Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and then a bunch of teams that just really didn't belong in the court with those other schools. But that said, I do think that for Mark Pope, he is going to be able to do a nice job of being able to push Kentucky in the right direction. It is going to be more about winning games. It's not going to be about as much of the flash off the court, which I think is going to be a good thing for Kentucky. Now, there might be some people that might dislike it a little bit, but you want to win games at the end of the day. And if you're able to win games, guess what? You put up a banner, that NIL, it should be coming in, that attention, it is going to be coming in. You get attention when you win. You have to create your own attention when you're mediocre. And that's what Kentucky has been the last few years. Whether you want to hear it or not, I mean, it's been a case where Kentucky was never truly awful since that 2020 season where things just went completely down the toilet bowl for Kentucky. But they fell short in the NCAA tournament a few times. And I do think that what Mark Pope is going to do is that he's going to have his teams executing in those games against, let's call it what it is, lesser competition. What ultimately doomed in John Calipari, in my opinion, was losing to the old St. Peter's Peacocks 2 seasons ago, and then this past season, he'll lose as a 3 seed to the 14 seed in Oakland. That's just simply unacceptable. You can't lose as a top 3 seed in the NCAA tournament 2 out of 3 years. That is not going to cut it, and Mark Pope, he, I think, is going to be someone that does a better job of being able to prepare for these lesser teams, and still is going to be able to punch above his weight a little bit, so I do think that the overall stuff that he runs, it is solid. Now, you do have to wonder if there is going to be a glass ceiling, because I did allude to it. No conference titles on his resume as of right now. Hasn't necessarily had the world's most coaching experience, but I do think that he's going to do a solid job. I think that he's got a clear system that he was able to run at BYU, was able to run it with success, so I do think that Kentucky overall is in a solid place, and maybe I'm off base here, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this almost feels a little bit like the Mick Cronin hire that we saw at UCLA a few seasons ago. Mick Cronin was not the number one option for UCLA. Mick Cronin is more of a nonsense guy. He's not a guy that's looking for a bunch of flash off the court or anything like that. He just wants to win games. I think that this is a little bit similar for Kentucky, and while Kentucky fans might have wanted Billy Donovan, they might have wanted some of these other coaches out there, and I'm not saying that this is the absolute number one hire that they're going to get. I think, though, that this is a very solid hire, and I do think that Kentucky going to have some success with Mark Pope. So those are my thoughts on what we all saw from the Kentucky coaching search and all the other college basketball news and notes. We are going to be tying a bow around those in the final segment, but coming up next, I have to talk with our good friend Greg Waddell of Sleepers Media along the Field of 68, and currently in the transfer portal, Greg Waddell. He is going to be joining me to talk about what to expect from the Big Ten this offseason and if Michigan can return to prominence. That's up next. Right here on Chris Gozic with myself, Greg Gozic, and now a part of the Music Daily Podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're right here in lovely Las Vegas for Christmas Soups with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And it is always great to be joined by this man as Greg Waddell does such great work over at Sleepers Media. I know that he is currently hitting the transfer portal, but that said, he does such amazing work taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. He, much like myself, a Greg from the Midwest, we absolutely love those guys. I know that he's doing a great job taking a look at all that we're getting in the Big Ten right now, and you're able to follow him on Twitter, SideChecks, at GWizzy, the number 12, all together, and does some good college football work. And Greg, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. Hope the offseason's treating you well through the first couple of days here.
Absolutely, and hopefully it's treating you a little bit better as well, because as a Michigan fan, I feel rough for what happened to you guys last season. That was not great, to say the least. Things just completely fell apart at the seams, and now that Dusty May is in the fold, what are some of your expectations for what Michigan is going to do this offseason? Because I thought that was a tremendous hire, but much like John Calipari was looking around and he was seeing no roster, Dusty May in a relatively similar spot right now with Michigan.
Yeah, it absolutely is a similar spot. The cupboard was pretty bare. I mean, there's a few players coming back. George Washington III just announced he's back. Four-star kid who didn't play really at all last season. There's potential that maybe Jace Howard could even return for his final season, which would be one of the more confusing dynamics in the locker room in recent college basketball history. But we're getting an early sign as to how Dusty May wants to operate, and the early returns are pretty good, in my opinion. He's hired a really nice staff, plucked an assistant coach from Georgia, an assistant coach from St. Mary's. He's kind of spread out across the country for those hires. And then Mike Boynton is also joined the staff. So he could have done the easy thing and just sort of taken his entire Florida Atlantic staff with him. I don't think anyone would have faulted him for that. But for whatever reason, instead, he went out and, in my opinion, got upgrades. And now he's in a similar spot with his roster, where been rumored as a destination for almost all of the Florida Atlantic players. Certainly you would take a John L. Davis, you would take an Elijah Martin, you would take a Vlad Goldin. I think Vlad Goldin is the most likely. There's been some crystal ball action towards Michigan there. John L. Davis, a name they certainly want and they are hot after. Elijah Martin seems as if he's bound to go elsewhere, but it hasn't been the just like plug and play, take everyone from FAU approach that some thought it might be. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, FAU won a lot of games, and this is a program in Michigan that needs bodies right now. So the pressure is on for how he's going to go and fill these other eight spots. And, you know, he's after a lot of really talented guards from all over the country, from the low major level, from the high major level. And one thing I believe in from his system that I've seen is he's always going to have good guards. He's always going to play, you know, three guards at a time. And if he was able to surround Vlad Goldin with three different guards from the transfer portal in year one, depending on who they are, I think there's reason for optimism that Michigan can get back to the NCAA tournament in year one.
Yep, with Michigan, they have the resources to be able to rebuild right away. That's a relatively good school in terms of NIL. They hire on a really nice coach, and I think that that is going to be massive for them. But I do take a look at just what you were talking about, perhaps trying to bring in some of these guys from FAU, and I think that that would be the best way to go about it. I've just noticed in recent off seasons that when coaches take on a job, like I thought that South Florida was a perfect example, bringing in all those guys from Kennesaw State, it leads to instant success. I'm not sure if you agree slash disagree, but I think the best way for year number one to go well for Michigan and Dusty May is just to bring in those guys, because for lack of a better term, in a day and age where you've got so much movement, where you've got so many transfers, just having that consistency with the system, I think would be massive for Michigan.
Yeah, if that's a starting point, you certainly feel good about it. You know, I think he's got to be careful, though. I think it would have been really easy to just say, hey, everyone, come with me. Nobody would have faulted him for it. A lot of these players are good players. With that said, this is a team that didn't win an NCAA tournament game this season, did not win the American Conference regular season or tournament championship. The Final Four was great. Don't get me wrong. Final Fours are always great. But I think you can point around the country to a lot of hires that may have been made due to an NCAA tournament run that point to that not necessarily being the best indicator of a coach's success long term. It's more about the caliber of your teams. And I believe Dusty in general was a great hire. I believe, honestly, of the names that have been floated that were attainable, I think he's probably been the best hire on the board this offseason, other than John Calipari finding his way to Arkansas. Louisville wanted him. He chose Michigan over Louisville. I think there's a chance whoever Kentucky ends up with, if it's Mark Pope, we can have a conversation if Dusty May was a better candidate than him. So Michigan should be feeling very fortunate that they have at least a few years with Dusty. You know, I will say, like, he seems to be approaching the right guys, because Giancarlo Rosato and Nick Boyd good players, certainly good locker room guys, good culture guys. Michigan needs better players than that. And those guys are not headed to Michigan by all accounts. So he's been after a few more high profile types like Roddy Gale Jr. from Ohio State, Dante Maddox from Toledo. You've got Danny Wolf from Yale that's a rumored impending Michigan commit. So I like all the targets. I like the way he's been spending his time. And at this point, it really comes down to, can he close the way that a lot of Michigan fans seem to think that he can?
Absolutely. That would be massive if he would be able to get someone, to your point, like a Roddy Gale is joining me on the show. We do have Greg Waddell, who does great work over at Sleepers Media, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do think that this leads into a little bit of a bigger question with regards to the Big Ten as well. How do you think the conference as a whole is going to be approaching the transfer portal? Because we did notice that in the Big Ten this past season, there were a few teams that went a little bit more up-tempo. And while it felt like the offense across the board was a little bit better in the Big Ten, it did feel like the defense just fell off a cliff. It was a case where a lot of these Big Ten teams still weren't necessarily playing overly fast, but it felt like the defensive efficiency for some of these teams, not named Purdue, was really, really bad. And I do think that as a conference, the Big Ten has quite a bit of retooling to do this offseason.
I think that's fair. I think it's going to be taken on a case-by-case basis by team. And there's a lot of unique portal approaches or non-approaches in this conference, as we've discussed before. I mean, Brad Underwood seems like he's going to throw a bunch of crap at the wall until something sticks. And it worked last year because you ended up with a really mature team with Marcus Damask and Quincy Guerrier. And they still didn't defend a lick, but they were one of the best teams in the country because they had the number one offense in the country for much of the season. From his early targets, from the two commits he already has, it's going to be a completely different roster build. And I think it's going to be a thing where year by year, Illinois looks completely different, and there may not be a lot of rhyme or reason to it. And Brad Underwood and his assistants will adjust the way their team plays based on the personnel that they have. Elsewhere, you have guys who have more of a system. I mean, Matt Painter and Tom Izzo certainly do things their way and recruit personnel to the strengths and weaknesses that they want to play with. And that has worked at times. It worked for Izzo a decade ago. It's working for Painter right now. Both of them are in a spot where they need to reload a little bit, or maybe even restart here in a new era now that Zach Edey's gone and you're losing Tyson Walker at Michigan State. So, you know, Izzo is doing the press tour right now, telling people that he is willing to adapt and use the transfer portal. He hasn't landed anybody yet, and he hasn't targeted any centers yet. That's the big thing Michigan State fans keep waiting for. And then Purdue is an interesting one because I think they're still going to be the best team next year. They've got Braden Smith coming back, and I think he's going to be the Big Ten Player of the Year on paper in the future. But outside of that, I mean, they have multiple spots to replace. It's not just Zach Edey, who you're going to slide TKR down for. You also need to replace Lance Jones, who was a huge impact guy for them this year on both sides of the ball that they got from the portal. They've got an incoming class of six freshmen. They're still oversigned by one right now, so some things need to change to even give them the opportunity to bring someone in from the portal. It'll be kind of an interesting test on how much has this taste of the national championship changed Painter towards wanting to compete now versus what he's done traditionally, which is, you know, believe in his young guys and give them opportunities and kind of wait it out until later in their careers. So if it were me, I would go straight to the portal. I think there's a lot of impact players that would love to play for Purdue right now. But like I said, there's work that needs to be done to see if Matt Painter's going to go that route.
Absolutely. And I do think that there's a very clear blueprint as to the teams that have gotten it right and the teams that have not. Even Purdue, they didn't go into the transfer portal too much, but bringing in Lance Jones, I thought was very impactful for them. And I have been noticing over the last few years, like you look at UConn, for example, they didn't bring in 100 million billion guys via the transfer portal, but Cam Spencer was that one guy that they really needed. Now, in a case where you've got a new head coach, like for example, Michigan with Dusty May, you're going to need to overhaul the roster. Arkansas, they're going to need to overhaul the roster. Just because there's nobody there, you need to find a way to be able to fill it out. But with teams that have a returning coach, for teams that have just a little bit of a returning sort of, shall we say, camaraderie, I think the best approach is trying to find those one or two impact guys rather than just spray and pray like some of these schools do. I'm not sure how you feel about that sort of approach, but I do think that the schools that were able to make the Final Four this last season have been utilizing the transfer portal to perfection in that they retain a lot of their own. But at the same time, they look to see what their needs are and do a nice job of filling those one or two needs.
Yeah, I think it all depends on what your roster is and what you're returning. But one of the archetypes that has worked for a lot of teams in the portal is guys that have multiple years of eligibility. I mean, you don't have to go out and get grad transfers as much as age has won lately in college basketball. If you can find a guy that has 2-3 years of eligibility left that can grow and develop in your program, I think that's a lot more valuable than a guy who's in and out in 6 months. And, you know, some examples of that in the Big Ten, Tyson Walker was stellar over his final 2 seasons at Michigan State after a pretty iffy first year, to be completely frank about it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of guys out there that, especially at the lower levels, they have a great freshman season. They want to go elsewhere. They want to reach the high major level. And, you know, the portal has given them an opportunity to do so. It just depends on them finding the right fit. And, you know, a lot of this is money driven, but maybe that doesn't always lead to the healthiest of situations. So I look at a guy like Tristan Newton, even outside of the Big Ten with UConn, like, man, getting a second year of him this season was so critical. They returned an All-American level point guard immediately that went from like a fourth, fifth option in their first national title run to really the face of the team from the perimeter. You know, everyone's going to try and duplicate that. It's easier said than done. But to me, that helps because you're not looking to do the Brad Underwood and get 6 new players every offseason. You can really lock in on 1 to 2 impact guys and hopefully stack them to the pieces you already added from previous offseasons.
Absolutely. And even this past offseason, I felt like Illinois did it a little bit better than in past offseasons as well, having Terrence Shannon return for season number 2. Still having Coleman Hawkins in the fold. It was awful at the beginning part of the season, then really developed. That was good for them as well. And look no further than Alabama with someone like a Mark Sears as well to build upon that point that you just made. As Greg Waddell does great work over at the Field of 68 and Sleepers Media, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And we talked about a few teams and their intrigue this offseason. No doubt we're going to be seeing what Michigan does this offseason. I feel like we could take off the list Michigan State because they just seem allergic to the transfer portal. Like, wake me up when they actually make a few moves. They made the move for Ty Walker a few offseasons ago, but past that, they really haven't done a lot. But when it comes to this offseason, is there a team or two in general that you're just intrigued by as to what they're going to be doing in the offseason, whether that be in the Big Ten or whether that be elsewhere? Because there's a lot of teams I think are going to be taking a lot of different approaches. And I do think that this is going to be an offseason in general where we could see a lot of teams just shift the way that they look at things to try to be able to make that Final Four / Elite Eight run.
I have 3 that come to mind, 2 in the Big Ten and 1 outside of it that is just super unique to me right now. But starting in the Big Ten, I actually do think Michigan State is one to keep an eye on because Izzo really is trying to get a wing as a starting point. I mean, he's said that he needs to adapt. He has also said he doesn't want to adapt, but he's not happy with his results and he'll die trying to get them back to a Final Four. Well, if you really mean that, back it up with some action. And thus far, early in the offseason, he's after a couple different guys. Frankie Fiddler is a wing that Michigan State's going to get a visit from. Javon Hadley, it sounds like he's down to Iowa State and Michigan State and may have backed out from a quick commitment to Iowa State. So there's new life there. Trey Townsend from Oakland is kind of that hybrid. You know, is he a big? Is he not? He's only 6'6", but certainly a guy who has done a lot of great things on the biggest stage and an in-state kid that I think Greg Campy would hand deliver to East Lansing if Tom Izzo wants him. So keeping an eye on that. They need a big and they need a wing in order to round out this rotation. And they're after a lot of wings right now. They're not after any true centers right now. And the news that Mati Sissoko is departing, we will see if Tom Izzo really is going to back up his willingness to change that he's talked about so many times this offseason. The other Big Ten one that's intriguing to me is Indiana. This last season I thought was a horrendous roster build from Mike Woodson. I don't think the team actually performed horribly to what he built. I think he did not go get any backcourt players. He offered a bazillion bigs. Peyton Sparks was coming off the bench after they already had Khalil Ware and Malik Renew. They had to push Mackenzie Mbako to the 3. Well, everybody thought there was going to be a mass exodus, and instead, Malik Renew's back, Mackenzie Mbako's back, Trey Galloway's back, and Mike Woodson's back. So you have this core that you really can work with, and I think if he learns from his lessons from last year, that's a team that can win a lot of games. But already they're rumored with Umar Ballo, and if you get Umar Ballo, yeah, he's a great player, but then you have an even worse logjam in the front court than you had last year because Khalil Ware could step outside and shoot it, and Umar Ballo, Malik Renew, and Mackenzie Mbako is not exactly a spacious front court, and you're still lacking guards. So I'm very curious if Mike Woodson has learned from his mistakes. Doesn't really seem like it thus far, but there's obviously a lot of time to go. And the last one I would shout out is just Arkansas. I mean, what is John Calipari going to do? He made the joke that he had a team meeting. There is no team. Well, you got 13 spots to work with. I would assume he brings a lot of his Kentucky recruiting class with him. I would assume he brings maybe a few players from last year's Kentucky team with him, but there's still going to be spots available. This is a man who has built so much of his career off of high school recruiting. He really lost his job because he didn't do enough from team building perspective at adding veterans and older guys. This is kind of crazy to say about a guy who did have Oscar Tshiebwe, a National Player of the Year, who was a guy he got from the portal, but he needs to build rosters that are more balanced. Arkansas is going to give him a chance to do so. There's been so much talk about the amount of NIL that's at his disposal. We're really going to find out if Cal is willing to do things a little bit differently than what ultimately did him in at Kentucky, and I can't wait to find out what happens.
Absolutely. I don't think that there's any question he's going to need it. The transfer portal, considering when he met with his team a few days ago, there was no team. So he's going to need to find some bodies there, and when it comes to this podcast, we do our best to be able to find the best guests. And Greg, you are certainly towards the top of the list. You do amazing work over at Sleepers Media. You're a part of the Field of 68, and you're a fellow Greg from the Midwest. We like those people on this show. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, it's actually a great opportunity for me to announce that I actually am hitting the transfer portal myself. I've had a great time at Sleepers Media these last few years, but Carter Elliott has just worn me down immensely. He's a talented kid, but good Lord, he loses his mind too often for my liking. So, you know, I'm going to figure out what's next. I don't know. I'm waiting for the highest NIL offer I can get. You know, if the good folks over at VEASAN are hiring Greg Peterson, you let me know. I'll be your sidekick. I will follow you around 7 days a week and help you win some bets this summer, my friend. That's about it. At GWizzy12, yes, if you want to, you can go follow at Sleepers Media to help Carter Elliott.
Absolutely. I think that we might need to get Greg Waddell on the team to help out with my weak point of college football and pay him in Texas Roadhouse. That seems like a very fair offer to me, but our good friend Greg, he does absolutely amazing work taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. And every single time he joins the show, he does great work. So big thanks to Greg for joining me right here on Cusco Superstar, part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. We take a look at all the news and notes we got in college basketball on Thursday.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
And we're back here in Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to get Greg Waddell aboard. He's done amazing work over the last few seasons over at Sleepers Media and the Field of 68. Obviously, he's looking at different ventures, and I can tell you right now, he's done some tremendous work when it comes to the college football front as well. For those who are looking for some info out there on the gridiron, he does an incredible job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Cusco Soups. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a little bit of a recap as to the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Thursday. We already recapped the biggest piece of news, the fact that Mark Pope, he is now going to be the head coach of Kentucky. We spent about 6 or so minutes hashing that out, so we're not going to go back there. But here are some of the guys that decided that they were going to be entering into the transfer portal on Thursday. Emmanuel Shaminga, he was over at UC Irvine, Zaza for the Anteaters, along with UC San Diego to begin his career. True 7-footer that last year for San Diego, he was solid down low. 4.5 points, 5 boards, but he regressed a little bit from the previous year. He was dealing with some injuries when he was a little bit more at full force. 2 seasons ago, he was able to supply UC San Diego with about 7 points, 6 boards, a relatively okay shot blocker as well. So I think that he's going to be a guy that is going to be coveted in the transfer portal. This is a name that I can never get correct, but Rokias Jokwais, hopefully I said that correct. He is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. He was out of LaSalle, and he was one of the lone guys for LaSalle that could pull in a rebound for you. At 6'10", he was part of a LaSalle team that they were one of the worst teams on the glass in all of college basketball, but he did a relatively solid job, and I think that there's a little bit of upside with him. Someone who comes in from Lithuania, 8.5 points, 5.5 boards, at 6'10", he's not going to be one of those guys that's going to be uber versatile, but in the few amount of threes that he took, shot 38.5% from three. Now, also shot 48.1% at the free throw line, but a guy who's 6'10 and a relatively small sample size shot it relatively well from 3-point range. So there's going to be some upside there. We shall see who's going to be eyeing him up. We shall see what Bruce Carpenter decides to do, as he was over at Houston Christian. He was a guy that really didn't see a lot of playing time. He decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. And we've got a lot of guys that are just like that, like Sean Yu, who's over at St. Francis of Pennsylvania, I believe. He's entered in the transfer portal. He's a true 7-footer, but just could not get out there on the floor. Matty Traore, he was over at Maryland this last season, 6'11", did not see any playing time whatsoever. He is now in the transfer portal as well. And we did notice a lot of these guys decide to be going portaling on Thursday, but this one I do think is a little bit interesting. Frederick King over at Creighton. I still remember when Ryan Kalkbrenner was dealing with his illness during the 2022-23 season. He came in and he honestly looked relatively solid, and I don't understand why Creighton didn't give him more minutes. He averaged about 2.5 points, 2 rebounds per contest, only got about 6.5 minutes per contest, and when he was actually out there and when he was given an opportunity, I felt like he was a solid player. Was he on the same level as Ryan Kalkbrenner? Heck no, but how about if we do go back to the 3 starts that he did get a season ago, and when he got those 3 starts, he filled in quite admirably. 3.7 blocks, 12 points per contest, and this was against BYU, Arizona State, and Marquette on a neutral court, and the game against Marquette was actually a true road game. So, I mean, this guy is actually able to play, and I think that he's going to be one of those unexpected and sneaky transfer portal pieces, and I think that that is going to be something to watch out for. Micah Parrish, he has entered in the transfer portal, and he's going to go through the NBA draft process now. I don't think Micah Parrish is going to be staying in the NBA draft, and if he does, he's going to be playing overseas. Let's just call it what it is, because with Michael Parrish, he was relatively solid when he was over at Oakland during the 2021-22 season. 12 points per game, shot about 35.5% from three, and it's not like he's been bad with San Diego State. 9 points, 4 boards, shooting 30% from 3-point range, but you have to anticipate that he's probably going to be just checking all options. I'd be very, very surprised if he actually does stay in the NBA draft or anything like that, as I think that he's just eyeing up his overall just options in general. Jordan Sears, he was eyeing up his options, and he's going to be going to LSU. Again, we have not seen a lot of these guys in the transfer portal make up their minds quite yet, but I mean, this is a good get for an LSU team that they looked a little bit better towards back half of last season, and Jordan Sears, I do think, is going to be able to fit this program relatively well. When he was over at UT Martin, the old Skyhawks this past season, 21.5 points, 4.5 boards, 4.5 assists, shot 43.2% from 3-point range. Now, he's going to be a little bit undersized for the SEC. He's just 5'11", but in a world where we have not seen a lot of players make up their mind. It was very nice to see Jordan Sears be able to do that. This is a very good gift for LSU, and you can anticipate them being very active in the transfer portal process. We've seen that out of Coach McMahon the last few seasons, and I fully expect that once again. This was big for Marquette, and Marquette has been a team that has really not dove into the transfer portal too much. As a matter of fact, I think Tyler Kolek is really the lone true guy that they have brought in via the transfer portal, but they're going to be getting Cam Jones back in the fold. He decided that he is going to be retaining his eligibility. He is going to be going back to Marquette, is not going to be going through the NBA draft process. And a lot of these guys that are going through the NBA draft process, they are just going to come back to where they came. But being able to get this assurance, very good news for Marquette. Last year shot 40% from three, 17 points, right around about 2.5 assists per game. And I will say this as well. Cam Jones had to fill in at the point guard spot a little bit when Tyler Kolek was out of the fold. And Tyler Kolek, he is going pro. He is not going to be maintaining his eligibility. He has already decided that he is going to be entering into and staying in the draft. But he had a nice little stretch there where it was from like March 9th to March 16th. He made four starts pretty much at the point guard spot. He was averaging 21 points, 5.5 assists, 6 rebounds per game. He is fully capable of being able to run this Marquette offense even without Tyler Kolek. Now, I don't think that he's going to be quite what Tyler Kolek was in terms of facilitator or anything like that. But that said, this is a nice, nice just piece of news in general for Marquette. I anticipated him coming back, but being able to just get that assurance, that is big for them. And this is big as well. Jamal Shedd, he had the option to be able to use his COVID fifth year for Houston. He has decided that he is not going to be doing so. Jamal Shedd, one of the more impactful players in all of college basketball, was able to log 13-plus points per contest. We saw him get injured in that Sweet 16 game. Very unfortunate. Who knows where Houston goes? If they made a run, they would not have been able to knock off UConn, that's for sure. And that was my pick to be able to win the national title. But that said, he averaged more than 2 steals per contest. Really had his fingerprints over everything that Houston did. And Houston has a lot of the guys that have a fifth-year option coming back, but this is big. You have to suspect that Houston probably going to be in the transfer portal looking to be able to bring in someone, and this is a program that is probably going to be bringing in some guys, but they did get some good news as well. Nelly Jr. Joseph, he is going to be back in New Mexico this next season. 9 points, 8-plus boards, more than a block per contest. Not a guy that's going to be out there popping threes or anything like that, but that is a piece of good news for them, and this is big as well. Quinnipiac is getting back Savion Lewis. Lewis was one of the best facilitators in all of college basketball a season ago, as he was able to give out north of 7 assists per contest. He did a nice job of just being able to help facilitate a Quinnipiac team that got to north of 20 wins last season. He was able to chip in there about 8 points per contest. He has been on campus for nearly forever and a half. He is able to have an extra year, though, because in both his freshman and junior year was limited to just 8 games and dealt with injuries all throughout his career, which is why he never busted out until this season. Now, he did turn the ball over 3 times per contest, but shot 41% from 3 while averaging 7.3 assists per contest. That is absolutely massive for them, so that is a good pickup there. Didn't see a lot of guys decide upon where they're going to be heading into the transfer portal, and we are currently awaiting more of those guys to say, hey, you know what, we're actually going to be going somewhere. But that said, we did see a few other guys make up their minds, as Bashir Jihad. He was over at Ball State this past season, 18.5 points, 8 boards, 6'9", very versatile piece. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Arizona State. Arizona State in very, very desperate need of offense. Defense has honestly not been too bad the past few seasons for them, but they have just been anemic on the offensive side of things. I do think that this is going to be something that is going to be helping them out moving forward, and this was another decision that we did see on Thursday as well. Logan Duncan, who just has not been able to get playing time at all, was a consensus top 150 guy when he came out of high school a few seasons ago. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Winthrop. He was at Xavier this last season, and for Duncan, just couldn't get out there on the floor in general. Spent his first 2 seasons at Indiana. He got injured and his season was over before it started when he was able to get out there on the floor for Indiana. Averaged about 3 points per contest, but he's someone with a relatively good frame. Not going to be one of those guys that goes out there, pops a bunch of threes at about 6'9", 235. But for Winthrop, they have been suffering ever since. Ironically enough, DJ Turnitup Burns, he decided that he was going to be leaving the program for NC State a few seasons ago. So we shall see what happens on that front, but I do like that that pickup as well. And then we saw a few other pickups from Thursday for the transfer portal as well. Deontay Allen, who he's had a very long and winding road in college. He's decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. And he's another one of those guys in which was a top 150 recruit and just never really panned out for him. He was over at Kentucky to begin his career last season, over at Western Kentucky. Solid player. Not great, not terrible. 8 points, shot 40% from three-point range, chipped in there about 3 rebounds per contest, 6'6", a little bit of a do-it-all sort of player that, I mean, it's just been a case where it's been okay for him. I believe that he redshirted his first year at Kentucky. Is a case where he hasn't necessarily developed in general, but it should be very interesting to see where he goes because he can clearly be a nice depth piece for someone. Can't necessarily be that main guy, and that's something that Bryant Settlebung-Yu found out when he was over at Arizona State this past season when he was at Tulsa 2 years ago. Averaged about 8-plus rebounds per game. This year at Arizona State, more around 4 boards per contest. Really didn't deliver a lot in terms of his offense. He is out in the transfer portal as Zane Meeks is as well. He really just could not get out there on the floor and couldn't do anything this past season while he was over at Arizona State, which is unfortunate because when he was playing out in the Mountain West while he was with Nevada, he was a rock solid player. You go back to what he did with Nevada and San Francisco for that matter as well during the 2022-23 season. That was probably the highlight of what he was able to do. That was with the Dons. 11 points, 5 boards. He shot about 32.5% from three-point range that season. His career high is about 36.5% from three. At 6'9", he's got some good versatility. He's able to pop some threes. Just could not get out there on the floor at all for Arizona State. And then this one I think is interesting as well. Jared Coleman-Jones, good versatility with him. 6'10", he was at Middle Tennessee this last year, and Middle Tennessee was terrible, but he was good. 11 points, 7.5 boards. I believe that he led the team with 2.3 assists per contest, shot 44% from three. He wasn't necessarily on volume, but shot it relatively well from three-point range. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well, and we're going to be keeping our eye on some of these D2 guys as well, because some of these guys are able to hoop it up, and we have been noticing that some of these guys that come from the non-Division I level, they are some of the guys that make some of the biggest impact. And Owen Aquino, he was over at East Florida State this past season. He has decided that he is going to be committing to old Liberty Bibberty, and this guy was able to put up some relatively solid numbers down low. He was able to pull in there about 7 boards per contest. He's a guy with size that is able to give you a little bit of outside shooting as well, was able to give you about 3 assists per contest as well. I know that he was one of the more highly touted junior college transfers out there. So from East Florida State, he is heading on over to Liberty, as we know, a Liberty program that loves versatility. They love guys that are able to do a little bit of everything. So I do think that that is going to be nice for them moving forward. And what we're doing moving forward on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, is taking a look at all that we've got this offseason and trying to be able to give you some great intel as well. This is one from a little bit over 24 hours ago as well. I can't get out without mentioning this one. Alvaro Cardenas, he was over at San Jose State this past season. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Boise State. Massive for Boise State. They were without Marcus Shaver Jr. this past season, and you tell that with them not being able to replace him with anything, they didn't have a single guy that gave them north of 3 assists per contest. There was a little bit of glass ceiling there. Now they've got the facilitator that they were desperately missing this last season for a San Jose State team that played no defense whatsoever. He's going to need to improve that. 13 points, a steal, 5.5 assists, shot 38.5% from three-point range. That's big, just like what we're doing here at Coast to Coast Hoops. As I'm giving you a podcast every single day throughout the offseason. Here in the offseason, we're looking at the coaching decisions. We're looking at the player movement, what have you, to try to make the 2024-25 season as successful and profitable as humanly possible. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is via Twitter /XTimeline at @_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Big thanks to Greg Waddell over at Sleepers Media for joining me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day on this podcast here in the off season. It's all about the news and notes of college basketball once we get back having games, picks, and analysis on every single one of those games every single day. So appreciate you tuning in today. I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.